Beyond the headlines, this is World Insight.
Hello and welcome to World Insight with me, Tian Wei. The Chang'e-2 relay satellite, a critical satellite for China's Moon Probe program, especially missions that concern the far side of the moon, was launched recently. Space exploration have taken big leaps in recent years thanks to state space agencies, private companies, and international collaborations. These leaps are made from ambitious missions to Mars, the Moon, and beyond, to seminal discoveries on the solar system. Recently, private company SpaceX also fired up its Starship rocket to almost an entire test flight on its third try. The rocket is designed to eventually send astronauts to the Moon and beyond. Though the rocket was confirmed lost, it did well enough, many experts say. So could giant leaps in space exploration lead to practical cooperation that benefits all humanity? For deeper insights, let's loop in our panelists from China and the U.S. For more on the latest space development in Reston, Virginia, Keith Gowing, a former NASA rocket scientist and the editor of NASAWatch.com. In Beijing, Yang Yuguang, vice chair of IAF, International Astronautical Federation Space Transportation Committee. Welcome to both of you, gentlemen.
My pleasure.
There are a lot of new developments recently, isn't it?
Exactly.
Mr. Cowing,
yeah,
we understand three times lunar landing missions already since the start of the year. Wow. We are on a faster track.
Yeah, and then it's every day there's something going on. You don't get a day off.
For journalists like us, isn't it? Yuguang, we know that three lunar landing missions already coming from the U.S., from Japan. What kind of fast track are we working and looking at right now?
Exactly. You know that it is amazing to have so many lunar missions this year. And also, you know that today we are in the stage from the exploration to the stage of exploitation of the moon. So first we must master the technologies. So the two U.S. missions come from the what we call the CLPS, or the commercial lunar payload services raised by NASA, but in a commercial manner. Also, you know that commercial space activities is very active in recent years.
Right.
But it is a great pity that the Peregrine suffered a failure because of the propulsion system. You know, for any lunar missions, because it must conduct many lunar orbit maneuvers, so the propulsion system is extremely important for every probe. So it is a great pity. But it is good that the SLIM mission from JAXA and also the Odysseus mission from the Intuitive Machines, they finally made it. So Japan becomes the fifth country which can conduct a soft landing on the lunar surface. And for the US, it is the first lunar lander successfully landed on the moon after more than half a century.
Right. What do you see is the most significant development in recent years, and why do we need to follow that path?
Well, there's two. One is the development of reusable boosters that SpaceX has done, and China's looking at several ways of doing that. And the larger rockets, whether it's the larger Long March or the Starship or the New Glenn, they will provide cheaper and more frequent access. So whatever you want to do in space, the less money it costs and the more things you can put up, the better you are. The second thing, though, is the ability now to begin precision landing on the moon and also on Mars or other planets for that matter. And so when you combine those two things together, you get the ability to do more missions at a lower cost, and you get more bang for your buck. You get a better mission that lands and does things instead of launching three or four, maybe one crashes, one gets lost. Now everything seems to go where they need to go.
Yuguang?
Well, I think the most remarkable improvement for the lunar exploration comes from the development of the electronics. You see that today the performance of the rockets has not changed much since the Apollo era. So, but you know that for the electronics, because it's smaller and more powerful today, so it is easier for us to conduct very complex lunar orbit maneuvers or other very complex missions. Today, you know that still the lunar exploration is very risky. We've already suffered many failures in many countries, and also have malfunctions in the three missions we mentioned previously. But you know that to make it easier today, every space capable nation are starting the positioning and navigation services in the cislunar space. So with this help, we can make it more easier and reduce the risk of landing on the lunar surface.
We see latest development of new technologies, particularly artificial intelligence. Of course, many of the new technological improvements are already being taken advantage and tapped into in the space exploration programs in various countries. How much do you see this is really transforming both the research methods, the research time, and the research ways, and the application of these research in the actual space programs that we are speaking about, according to public knowledge, of course. Keith.
Well, you know, it's interesting. As was mentioned, the rockets are pretty much the same as they've been. This calculator is almost 50 years old. This is my brand new iPhone, about the same size. But, you know, back then, this would have been a super duper computer.
Yeah.
And now you can, you know, you make them. Yeah. You know, so what that gives you, though, is just in my hand, I now have more ability to think and do things. And it's sort of like having many of the more advanced airplanes now. If you flew them like just with a pilot, they'd crash because they're unstable. But because they have very advanced electronics, they can constantly adjust things. Add in some AI and you've got, you know, much more ability. And of course, they've had with one of the Chang'e landers, they had a data server on the moon, and also on IM-1, they also had a data server. And my wife and I had a picture inside with some of our cats.
Oh, good.
So I have a little, I paid a little more attention to that mission. But the point is, you have data servers now on the moon with AI, with advanced electronics. And so every time you land a mission, it's not just land, take some pictures, take some rocks, and go home. It's land to do many, many different things, adapt to situations, do the unforeseen. On the far side of the moon, they went and found things that they didn't expect to find, and the rover had to be able to adapt to those new things. Same thing on Mars.
Yuguang, your thoughts on that, the AI and other new technologies that's likely to transform the overall research directions and also how they interact with the latest development?
Keith just raised the example I often tell to the media. You see that the total sum of the capability of the computing of the Apollo era, the sum of all computers on the spacecraft and on the ground, the sum of the capability is even less than a very cheap mobile phone today.
Right.
So you can see how fast the development of the electronics and also with the development of the technologies from the Apollo era, our daily life also benefits from that. There is a very direct example from the movie Interstellar. You see that MRI is a very important technology to provide ensure the health of the common people. But the Apollo program, the transfer of the technologies from the Apollo do have some contribution to the MRI technology. And also, you know that today, Keith also mentioned about the SpaceX, but you know that the injectors of the Merlin engines from the Falcon 9 also benefit from the engines used on the descent stage of the Apollo lunar modules. So these are very direct and indirect examples which benefit our daily life and also the space technology, the space field ourselves.
How much do you see that international cooperation is still possible in whether it's lunar exploration or in the future possibilities of developing technologies that would eventually transform overall the space industry, the space programs as well?
Well, Ms. Tenway, you know that I am the founding member of Moon Village Association, which was founded several years before. Also, our old friend, Mr. Giuseppe Ribaldi, is the president. So from the view of our Moon Village Association, all these missions we just talked about are the, can we call that Moon Village missions. Because you know that the Moon Village does not only mean something on the lunar surface, but all the spacecrafts which can contribute to the lunar activities in the cislunar space. So the what we talk about, the navigation satellites and also the observation satellites, remote sensing satellites on the lunar orbit, also we can recognize that as the whole system or an architecture for the future exploration of the whole human being to the to our human society. You know, that's the point is that the more satellites you have, the more accurate for the navigation in the cislunar space.
Keith?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The cooperation, it used to be when I grew up, it was the U.S. and the Russians, and we were racing to the moon. There was nobody else involved. And it was politics, politics, politics. Now we move forward, and people often ask me, is there a space race, like with China or whoever? And if you're in a space race, everybody has to agree that there's a race. But here we are in the 21st century now, and we have cooperation, collaboration, all this happening at the same time with half a dozen countries and hundreds of companies. And everybody has a different reason, but an overlapping reason for going into space. So luckily, if you can't cooperate or collaborate, you can always find another way to do things. Politics is still in the middle of this. And, if you haven't noticed right now, the world is a little messed up and the U.S. and Russia aren't exactly best friends. But if you go to the space station for a quarter of a century, it has gone perfectly smoothly. And so I would just ask, a rhetorical question. What's the most important thing we've learned about, being in space? And that is how to get along. Maybe we should teach everybody on Earth how we do it up there. But more importantly, in the near term, we are able to find a way here in the U.S. for American scientists to propose to study sample. I think it's Chang'e 6 that's a sample return. We found a way to get around the politics. And now we can have some collaboration, cooperation here. So every little bit helps. It takes a while, but you do more and you do more, and eventually people realize that we really should just be doing this all together.
Great idea, Yu Guang.
Well, that Ms. Tianwei, Dr. Charles Bolden, friend of you and me, just mentioned recently that the space activities, the collaboration should not be influenced by politics. So this is true. Many of my friends from the United States agree that the China and U.S. should cooperate together, also include Russia and other countries. And also, that we today talk about the lunar explorations, which can benefit the whole human being, not a certain country. So in this field, all countries should work together.
Well, it's funny. About a month ago, and I said this on another interview, I was looking at social media and some pictures went by of an astronaut outside a space station working on something. And I was a little confused where he was, because I helped build this the International Space Station, so I kind of know everything. And I was confused why, and I realized, oh, wait, there's another space station up there. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. I actually get confused which space station is up there. And to me, that's an important thing to realize, is it's not just one anymore. There's more than one, and there'll be more additional commercial ones added. So the more capability you have, the more overlapping interfaces, which if you look inside China's space station, I recognize the shape of racks and things like that. I help design them. So you can move things around more easily and you get just more, more collaboration, more cooperation, just building up over time.
Yang Yuguang, Keith Gowing, thank you so much for both of you for joining us. A lot of latest development and good news. We are looking forward to more. Thank you so much. Still to come, Article 23 of Hong Kong SAR's Basic Law passed. What it means for Hong Kong's future? Hong Kong aspires to be the center of culture and arts in Asia and beyond. My talk with Henry Tang Yingyan, the board chairman of the West Kowloon Cultural District Authority. Next.
Beyond the headlines, this is World Insight.
Welcome back. This is World Insight with me, Tianwei. The Legislative Council of the Hong Kong Special Administrative Region passed Article 23 of the Hong Kong SAR Basic Law on Tuesday. What exactly does Article 23 mean for the stability and growth of Hong Kong? And will Hong Kong remain a bridge for culture and arts between the mainland and the world? I asked Henry Yingyan Tang all these questions. He is the board chairman of the West Kowloon Cultural District Authority. Harry, we understand the Article 23. This, of course, is a very important legislation for Hong Kong's future. What is your personal take?
This piece of legislation should be effective so that we will not leave any loopholes for the subversive elements to try and slip through. So it should be effective. And the fourth and the most important point is that it should be forward-looking. Crime can be committed in more ways than one now. So therefore, we need to be forward-looking so that it will be, in the foreseeable future, still be a good barrier for any attempt to breach national security in Hong Kong. Therefore, national security is necessary for a stable community, for a safe community. With a safe community, we can now all join together as a team to fight for the common prosperity and the livelihoods of Hong Kong.
Both here on the mainland and in Hong Kong, there is a discussion about how to tip that very delicate balance between national security and development and growth. Now, of course, a lot of emphasis is being put on growth especially when the economy is being challenged. What is your take?
I think national security is first and foremost the most important issue, because without security, there is no stability. Without stability, there is no development. So I think there's no doubt in my mind that security is most important. With security, there will be stability. And now that we have stability in Hong Kong, our focus will be on economic development, the prosperity of Hong Kong, and the resources to make the lives of people better.
So one of the most impressive cultural and arts projects in Hong Kong, West Kowloon Cultural District. I know you are working around the clock trying to figure out how to make this sustainable financially. Have you figured out a way?
Any cultural projects as such has to be financially sustainable. In most places around the world, it is always supported by government or a very rich organization, company in the back. So first of all, it is necessary. And secondly, our original plan is that government will give us one lump sum, an endowment, and that we will be able to build all the facilities. And that was in 2008. And all the assumptions were based on well before the Asian financial crisis. So therefore, they are very unrealistic. Of course, government then did a midterm revision, but that was before any of the cultural facilities were opened. So now we have opened three facilities, four actually, and also we have operated them for several years. We welcome millions and millions of visitors. They are very, very much welcome and embraced by Hong Kong as well as the world. But at the same time, we realized those assumptions were wrong also. So now we have a much more realistic forecast, and we have presented it to the board of directors at West K and also to government, because three government officials sit on our board. So they are completely au fait of what's happening.
There are media reports, Henry, about the ways that you have figured out or you proposed. Some suggest, would there be bonds issued for the funding of the West Kowloon Cultural District? Or should there be tapping into the use of land in the area to make it a small area commercial and use that money to support the cultural cause?
First of all, categorically, we cannot issue a bond, because a bond, we have to demonstrate to the investors that we are able to repay the bond. We are not able to repay the bond without government approval of our revised plan.
Right.
By the same token, we can go to the banks and borrow a loan and take out a loan to cover the short-term cash flow challenge. But again, we have to demonstrate to the banks that we are able to repay the loan. All the assumptions are premised upon government's approval of our revised plan, better use of our assets. Mm-hmm. The only asset West Kowloon has is, of course, our team. The team is, I think, one of the best teams in the world. Mm-hmm. Other most important asset is our land. So I have thought about how to make better use of the land so that it meets the current demand of the market in Hong Kong in order to make the West K Cultural District sustainable for the next decades.
Mm-hmm. When you are trying to put these different institutions into operation, when you are trying to bring the best exhibitions from around the world to the museums, when you even try to bring some of the biggest names of the world, but maybe they are being culturally viewed differently, how did you manage to let them all shine?
When we curate the exhibitions, especially in the two museums, the contemporary and classical, we are very careful and judicious to curate collections that will appeal to more people, and that it's not something that they are able to see easily elsewhere. Mm-hmm. For example, at M+, it's our contemporary museum that's been open for nearly 3 years, 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. We welcome more than 5 million visitors.
Oh my God.
And we also put on one major international exhibition by Yayoi Kusama, mm-hmm. the very famous Japanese artist.
Yes.
And this exhibition, curated by Hong Kong, and we have sent it over to Guggenheim Museum in Bilbao for exhibition for several months, and it was very much welcomed by the European visitors. And now the next stop is we are then going to Portugal for next exhibition in Porto.
I see.
So it's the first international exhibitions that we curated that we can actually go overseas. This is very much consistent with the Central People's Government mission for us to be the East-West Cultural Exchange, as the 14th five-year plan has asked us to do.
How did you try to figure out ways and solutions to something that you didn't have the answer and Hong Kong earlier did not encounter?
I recently went to see an Iranian exhibition at the Palace Museum here in Beijing.
Yeah.
It was very impressive because their cultural history is as long as, or even longer, than China.
Yeah.
So these very rich cultural histories, civilizations, really need to be shown to the world, and it will help the world understand China.
There has been challenges, of course, in economies around the world, here on the mainland as well. While we are facing this transition, how do you see Hong Kong is making its way, finding its way right now?
We are part of China, mm-hmm. so our relationship is intermingled in many, many ways. Mm-hmm. When China is doing well, we will do very, very well. When China is facing its own challenges, we will face these challenges as well. But we do have one unique strength, mm-hmm. which is we have the one country, two system, meaning we are able to do a number of things that the mainland of China is not able to do. For example, we have a capital system rather than a socialist system. We have a freely convertible and transferable currency. And thirdly, we have common law, which is much more predictable to the commercial world. So therefore, we do have our strength, and our challenges is to be able to further leverage on those strengths for the benefit of Hong Kong.
Business community understand it will not happen as the terminologies indicated, but rather there's going to be changes in supply chains and value chains and the ways of doing business. So you are also a celebrated business person yourself in your career. How do you now, with the public service you are doing, looking at all these changes?
My main principle and main rule at West Kowloon is that all our exhibitions, shows as such, will have to be fair, objective, and unbiased. So it is not something that it's done so easily, because first, of course, the most important one is that we have to be lawful. Nobody has a right or has a privilege of breaching the laws of Hong Kong. Secondly, when we curate anything, it has to be curated objectively and fairly and balanced. So this is a rule. It's a fairly simple rule, but it's a rule that's very, very important that cannot be breached.
What about people's confidence for Hong Kong?
Hong Kong, in the past, have faced many challenges many times over. Over the decades, we have thrived under these challenges. Every time the going gets tough gets going. And that is the Hong Kong spirit.
I like that. Very nice. So having said that, though, during this year's National People's Congress and also CPPCC, you see people talk a lot on the new quality productive forces. Tell me more about your understanding and how do you see it also might have an impact on Hong Kong's development?
Well, the hottest topic nowadays is, of course, on artificial intelligence. And artificial intelligence is based on microelectronics.
Yes.
I'm in this industry, so I am very much au fait with what is happening in the industry, and the demand is very, very large. It takes a lot of work and research and also design in order to make these AI chips. Our nation is working very hard to further enhance and to upgrade our technology and our know-how on how to do this. We have made great developments, but we still have a long way to go.
Right.
So, like presidents always say, there is no best, there's only better, and we are striving to do that.
That's my latest conversation with Henry Ng-Nian Tang, the chairman of the board of the Hong Kong West Kowloon Cultural District Authority. That's all the time we have for today. I'm Tian Wei on behalf of my team. Thanks for being with us. Bye for now.